Okay, I have about 10 to 15 minutes to share. We're here on Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter, but we're glad we're all here. And the reason that we're all here is because Jesus Christ rose from the grave.
Amen.
He rose from the grave. I've been praying for you, been praying for me, been praying this apostolic prayer that I want to read to you quickly and just make a few points, because of all the things that get said, you know, we're wordy people. We like to talk and communicate and on and on and on we go. But the older I get, the more I'm finding out that what really matters is what God says.
Yes, indeed.
Not what matters, what God says matters. Because what he says is truth, and what he says is eternal.
Amen.
Okay? And oftentimes when we speak, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't say the truth.
Right.
The Lord knows it's not eternal. It falls to the ground.
Right.
Just as soon as it comes out of us. And so, God help us. Let me just read what I've been praying over your lives for the past couple weeks or so. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, he said this: "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know," and he went into three things. He says that you may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling, of God's calling you. Then he says, number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then number three, the one I want to focus in on is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. I feel like running right now, because yes, that word is God's word, and it's true, and it is eternal. It is everlasting.
Yes.
He says this: according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Let me repeat verse 19. He says this: Paul's praying that you and I would know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe. Listen, if you are a believer today, there is power coming from God rushing toward you and through you, not only at conversion in the past, not only now in the present, but will also be in the future. There is power coming from God toward you at all times. This is a wonder. This is a marvelous thing, because your salvation and my salvation depend upon the power of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Depends on the power of God.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Paul said, and we get the division of the spirit, soul, and body, man being a three-part, being a spirit, a soul, and a body. We get that out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where Paul was praying and said this: "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So over the years, I've heard teachings that go along this line: our spirit has been saved. That's your inner man. Mm-hmm. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions are in the process of being saved.
Come on.
And our body, we all know, because we get up every morning in the mirror and look in the mirror, ain't saved yet. It is in the process. It will be saved.
Amen.
It will be redeemed. Amen? Some of you missed that, but I'm telling you, I said your body will be redeemed. It's not redeemed yet. If you have any questions about it, just go home and look in the mirror. And so here we see that, and I want to put link these two together, because the scripture seems to bear this out somewhat, that in, you know, God in our past, Ephesians 2 and 1 says this, let me read it in context and get to it, let me keep reading, that God would cause you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So Paul here is dealing with the power of God as it had to do, the power that is coming toward us, and the power that is coming toward us was the same power that God worked when he raised him from the dead. Now that only makes sense because Ephesians 2 and 1 says this, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses. You he made alive. Now, we, each one of us experiences a resurrection of sorts every day. Because you were lying down this morning and you got up. That's called a resurrection. You were lying down and you got up. When you lie down and you don't get up, that's not a resurrection. You see? And so we experience a resurrection of sorts every day. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
Most people in here are born again, which happened in your past. Yes. God saved your spirit in your past. Yes. Paul says here, you he made alive who were dead, past tense.
Yes.
God saved you and he saved me. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it was the same thing as when the day you got saved, spiritually you were a dead person, yes. But God, through Christ, raised you up. You got up, and you were saved. Come on. How many of you remember the day? Yes. I remember the day. I remember the hour. I remember the time when I prayed and my spirit came alive, and I knew that I knew God, but I didn't have to tell me. No one has to tell you you're alive. No. You know you when you're alive. And so, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead raised you and I up out of the deadness of our trespasses and our sins.
Glory to God.
And if you think about it, it happens every time you and I sin. Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. We turn from our sins. We ask God for forgiveness. The blood cleanses us, but we experience another resurrection.
Yeah.
It's like it's not this. What God did through Christ was not a one-time event. It is an ongoing process every day. That's why Paul said, I'm praying that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power toward you.
Come on.
It's coming toward you. Every day, all day, it's his Holy Spirit living within us.
Yes.
I'm reminded of Luke chapter 6 and verse 19. I love this verse. The scripture says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For power, this is Jesus in his earthly ministry.
Yes.
When he was here in the flesh,
yes.
People sought to touch him because power went out from him and healed them all. When Jesus was here in the flesh, when we walked this earth, power was flowing out of his physical body. I didn't say it, but scripture says.
That's the word.
Power literally flowed out of him.
Glory to God.
You children of God?
Yes.
Are you children of God?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. What you can find then, power will also flow out of you.
Glory.
Not because I'm anything, but because he's everything.
Yes.
And he's living in me inside. He said, I pray that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. The effects of the Son of God is like walking outside. You can't walk out there without being smitten by the Son.
That's right.
And when you're in his kingdom, your life is affected by the Son. Constantly, at all times.
That's right.
So, we see that God's power made us alive spiritually, speaking of our recent past. But not only that, God's power keeps our soul alive and preserves us in the present. 1 Peter chapter 1, one of my favorite, I'm going to read it, starting in verse 3. I love this passage of scripture. Let me just read verse 3 and 4 and 5. Peter says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything the apostles wrote, everything we believe, depends and hangs itself on the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so he says, his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, watch how Peter, how he's pinned this. He said the resurrection, God has by his abundant mercy, has begotten us. He saved us, past tense. Mm-hmm. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus, it happened in the past. Then he jumps into the future in verse 4. He says this: to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You don't have it yet. It's in the future. It's coming. Yeah. Then verse 5, he comes to the present and he says this: you who are kept by the power of God.
Hallelujah.
You are kept by the power of God. Some Christians would love to think, I'm such a holy person. I walk right, I talk right, I keep it all right. And that's right, give me all the credit, because I'm the one. I've got news for you. Now anybody who knows Jesus knows you ain't walking and you ain't talking and you're not doing all the work. See? Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God. 1 Peter tells us this, that we are kept by the power of God. Unto through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, if the inheritance is reserved in heaven, then the saints must be preserved on earth. I'm going to say it again. If the inheritance is reserved in heaven, then the saints must be preserved on earth. If I'm ever going to get what God has promised me, he got to keep me while I'm here.
Amen.
And that's the truth of the matter. Anybody who reads the scripture and sees what God calls us to, knows that you're going to take the power of God to do what he's called
right.
to do. There's no way I can do that.
Amen.
There's no way. Lord, help me.
Right.
You see? And so that word in verse 5, kept, means to guard with a garrison, to put a sentinel, to put a warrior there, someone to keep that which has been provided for, to keep that one in that particular state. The Bible says that God saved you, but listen, God not only saved you, he's keeping you.
Yes, he is.
He's keeping you.
Indeed.
He's keeping you. Come on, any pastor here would know with what all the things that goes on with pastors falling left and right. Every year, every seems like people are falling left and right. And you sit there and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Because I'm a pastor too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God, it is his grace, it is his power to keep. Listen, I'm just going to share with one commentary. It says, the idea here is that there was a faithful guardianship exercised over them to save them from danger. As a castle or a garrison is watched to guard it against the approach of an enemy, the meaning is that they were weak in themselves and were surrounded by temptations. Is anyone surrounded by temptation? I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
And that the only reason why they were preserved was that God exerted his power to keep them. The only reason which any Christians have to suppose that they will ever reach heaven is the fact that God keeps them by his own power.
Yeah, that's right.
He keeps us by his own power. Philippians 1 and 6 alludes to it, where the scripture says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The reason why I'm going to get what God has for me is because what he started, he's well intended to finish.
Yes.
Beloved, that's you and I.
Praise
2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And then Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
The longer I live, the older I get, the more I keep hearing this mantra just rolling through my own spirit. And it's born of the Holy Spirit. When God says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he just keeps saying, son, all this is mine. All of it. Created it all. I own it all. I order it all. I'm sovereign over it all. And my will, I'm going to have it all. Because he came, he sent his son to redeem and reconcile all things to himself. Everything was thrown out of order in his relationship to God. But God sent Christ to reconcile all things to himself. That's why he says, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He says, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Let me get to this last point. So God's power saved us spiritually in our past. God's power is keeping us currently in the present.
Hallelujah.
And then the last is that God's power will make alive these dead bodies in the future.
Yes, indeed.
In the future,
glory to God.
He's going to make alive these bodies. Now, I want to share, because the world, is always trying to define and tell us why we are. I had my twin sister over the other day. She was talking to someone at work. Conversation was going great until the man said, yeah, and we are children of stardust. And my sister went off. Okay, stop. So you got to go. This conversation is over. I ain't no child of no stardust, okay? I have a creator. I have a maker. All right?
You got me up.
But, so the world is always trying to define or trying to cause us to understand our origins. Let me share. There's so many scriptures I can share about the resurrection of the body. And of course, the world being enamored with the here and now, that it is so concerned about our bodies. It's more so than our spirit and our soul. But let me read a scripture that you know well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love when God gives us reasons for existence. Listen. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, food's for the stomach. Everyone agrees with that. Where does food go?
In the stomach.
Where does it belong?
In the stomach.
And more in mine than in yours. Food's for the stomach. Listen. And the stomach for foods.
Right.
But God will destroy both it and them.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality. We all know that.
Yeah.
The body is not for sexual immorality. But listen to this. But for the Lord.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Time to rejoice. Yes. Why do you have a body?
For the Lord.
For the Lord.
Yes. Bring it, Pastor.
I pause for effect.
Glory to God.
I want that to sink in.
Yes.
We don't need to be quick with the word of God.
Right.
We really need to listen to what he said.
Amen.
Why do you have a body?
For the Lord.
Listen, the Lord gave you a body He created you and gave you a body so that you could experience the revelation of who he is in creation. He gave you a body so that when you walk out the house and the sun is rising, you drop to your knees and say, my God, there must be a God. Because he gave you a body to experience beauty. You experience beauty.
Yes.
The body is for the Lord.
Yes, indeed. Not for us.
Now, listen. He goes on, he says, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Let me tell you something. God is for your body.
Come on.
Amen.
That's a good word.
He's for it so much that he sent his son to die for it, redeem it, and raise it up.
Come on.
He's for your body. That's why we don't mistreat our bodies.
Right.
You definitely don't mistreat anyone else's body.
Right.
That's right.
Why? Because your body is not yours. If I keep reading, I'm going down. I haven't written down it. But it says that the body, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
right,
who is in you, listen, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the world that tells you you can do with your body whatever you want to. Don't listen to that lie.
Come on.
Jesus Christ went to the grave, was buried, and rose again the third day so that your body could be raised up to experience immortality with him forever.
Hallelujah. Wow.
So, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God's power will make alive our dead bodies. I know we think so little. We devalue the body. We glamorize what we call beautiful bodies. God didn't characterize it. He said that the body is for the Lord.
That's right.
And the Lord is for the body.
That's right.
And all of this, the power of God raises our spirit, our soul, our body. Father, I pray that your church today would know the exceeding greatness of your power for us who believe. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to glorify you in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And I ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Pastor Pat was getting me so fired up I had to go to the men's room.
Whoa.
Pat and Dean are both kind of guys that like to come down off the platform, you know, up and down, and very animated. I'm a little more dignified, so I'll stay up here.
Do it, brother.
And a little bit back. And of course, I'm older than you, so they got more energy than I have. You know, I want to share with you today. Usually when I put together notes for a sermon, for a message, or anything, is this on? Did you guys hear me?
No, it's muted. You can.
Oh, you just don't want anybody to hear it. When I get a message together, I usually, God gives me a train of thought and I can put it together. But, you know, for this time, he didn't really do that. And I'm just depending that there's things he wants me to say in the spirit, really, today, that he wasn't giving me when I wrote this out yesterday. and put these notes down. And it just occurred to me as I was listening to Pat preach, and as I was listening to Dean talk about, you know, communion, how I remember those words on the cross that the Lord spoke, "It is finished." And I want us to think for a moment about what that really means. Because we spend so much time pleading and begging God to do things that have already been done and already been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we're always saying, "Lord, please," and the Lord says, "I've given you."
Right.
"Receive it."
Right.
Jesus said, "Freely I've given, freely receive."
Right.
And what would life become for you and I if we really began to receive all that He has already given?
Mm-hmm.
In resurrection life. See, He's given us resurrection life for now.
That's right.
I understand about our bodies. I understand that real well. Every time another day goes by, I understand about our body's fate. You know, I understand that clearly. But I'm understanding more and more about the power of His resurrection life that He has given us.
Yes.
So I want to share a couple of scriptures with you this morning. First one to be found in 2 Corinthians. 5th chapter, 4th and 5th verse. Kind of echoing a little bit of what Brother Pat was talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. "Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life." God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He's given us His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that tells me that we have a future hope, that's true, but we have a present one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
A present one. And so I just that one phrase that really stuck and sticks to me and really sticks in my spirit is "swallowed up by everlasting life." And so the question, I like to ask questions, and some of those questions would be, has your life been swallowed up by His everlasting life?
Mm-hmm.
What's reigning in your life today? The death of the world or the life of the Savior?
Come on.
Which one is reigning in your life and my life at this very moment?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are we modeling that everlasting life? Have we been swallowed up in our homes, our marriages, our relationships, mm-hmm. our jobs, our ministries,
mm-hmm.
our fellowships? Do we reflect that we have been swallowed up by everlasting life? When people talk to us, do they get that impression? When they watch our lives, and they are watching our lives.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
Do they see lives that have been swallowed up? I'm not talking perfection. We're not perfect people. You are not. We've been around each other enough to know that,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
But more and more, are we being swallowed up by His everlasting life
mm-hmm.
that He has already given us?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen in our homes? What would happen in the places we work? You know, instead of becoming people who are always complaining about what is not, we begin to become glorious for what God has done and is and what we have and what we can be and are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Swallowed up by everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because on the cross, death was conquered. Now we know that and we confess that, but do we live that? Is death conquered in our lives?
Come on.
Who has the upper hand, life or death, in your life and mine?
Hmm.
Who's got the upper hand there? Death and all the power of death have been swallowed up by everlasting life.
Right.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
Has it been swallowed up for you?
Thank you, Lord.
Everlasting life has been released. Have you and I received it?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Have we received it? Second, over in Hebrews. 7th chapter. And we're not sure who wrote Hebrews, but it seems to be that most people believe it was Paul.
Uh-huh.
But no matter who wrote it, the Holy Spirit was behind it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so it says here in verses 15 through 17, and Hebrews was written to Hebrews, and so they would have a familiarity with the Old Testament form of worship and the role of priests. Mm-hmm. And that's what's being talked about here. And it's talking about how Christ is the perfect priest, mm-hmm. the high priest. Mm-hmm. It says in these verses, the change in God's law is even more evident from the fact that a different priest, who's like Melchizedek, has now come. Okay. He became a priest not by meeting the old requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power, listen to this, please, by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the psalmist pointed this out when he said of Christ, you were a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. So I'm going to, that's the second phrase that really stood out to me, is that not only has death been swallowed up by everlasting life, but we are given a life that cannot be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Do we live like that's the reality? Are we beaten down by what's going on in our world, in our life, or are we rising above
Come
it in Christ?
Yes.
Right. We are created to rise
above
in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
There's problems. There's stress. There's all these things. And they seek, the enemy seeks through the circumstances of your life and my life to crush us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God, through the power in Jesus Christ and a life that cannot be destroyed, seeks to lift us.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's not, we don't have to climb, we have to be lifted.
Yes.
We gotta stop living like, oh, I gotta do all the climbing here. It's so hard, I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Allow the Lord to lift us.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
It's good.
Power and fun.
Amen.
Power and fun.
Yes.
A life that can't be destroyed. Hell can't destroy it.
Come on. The
devil can't destroy it.
That's right.
The flesh can't destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
You know, I notice this every Easter, every time this time of year. Do you notice on all the channels, it seems there are just a multitude of programs dedicated to trying to disprove the reality of Christ
mm-hmm.
and the resurrection?
Yes.
You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You notice that there's no one's out there trying to make programs that are trying to disprove the truth of Islam or Hinduism
nothing.
Or any of the many pagan religions and false beliefs. Why is that? Because they're not threatened. Hell is not threatened.
That's right.
Satan is not threatened by anything but Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
and his power. Life
mm-hmm.
that cannot be destroyed.
Right.
So, are you allowing your problems, your past, your future, your present, and the circumstances that go with it to destroy the life that God says can't be destroyed?
Right.
You see, it can't be destroyed, but the devil can talk you into believing that it has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Right.
He can talk you into believing every day. You know, we come to church and we get fired up, and then we go out and meet life, and the fire goes out.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Holy
and that Ghost. Joy and that peace mm-hmm. and that strength and that might that God has given us in Jesus Christ, we allow to be quenched. And we allow it to be weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be destroyed, but we feel like it has been. Have you ever had those times? Well, where's God? Where is he? God is present. God is real. But he has to be received and has to be abided in. You know, if we're not abiding in him moment by moment, he's not going to do us much good in the times where we're not here.
Right.
You know, we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say we're to worship the Lord on Sunday and then go about it in our own strength Monday through Saturday.
Right.
That's the way a lot of us live.
Right.
That's the way a lot of us live is just we try to get through the week, try to get through the day, but we have been given a life that can't be destroyed. Can't be destroyed. Nothing in this world, nothing in hell, nothing anywhere can destroy the life that you and I have.
That's right. That's right.
But we can deny that life. And then we can miss it. So I ask you, are you missing that light today? Are you missing that everlasting light today? Are you missing that light that cannot be destroyed? Are you missing it today? A lot of people are. If the church were living in this kind of life, would our culture be in the kind of shape that it's in? If we were really salt, we were really light, would we see all the things going on that are going on? Mm-hmm. We were created and came into being to be something more than mediocre folks.
Amen.
Something more than lukewarm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
We were created to be alive.
Amen.
One last part. And this is really the one part that moved my heart more than all. It's in Joshua. Fifth chapter. Verse 9. Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away the shame your slavery in Egypt." So that place has been called Gilgal to this day.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, folks. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know the spiritual condition or your heart condition. I don't know your past. But I would ask you, has the reproach of your slavery been rolled away?
Sorry.
We're born into this world with a stone over our tomb. We're born in a tomb. We're born without Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And mental agreement with the reality of Jesus won't get you into life. And coming to church won't get you into life. Writing a tithe check won't get you into life.
Amen.
Only the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ
Hallelujah.
Will get you into light.
Praise the Lord.
So if you have never had that experience of Jesus coming into your life in a saving, converting, transforming way, folks, there's no better time than now for that to happen.
That's right.
Amen. But the other thing I see in the church is that though many of us have been saved from the tomb, for whatever reason, we continue to live there. We continue to live under the shame and the reproach of our slavery.
Come on.
Things that have happened to us in the past.
Come on.
Things that we have done, things that have been done to us. And these things continue to exert power over us.
Yeah. Shame.
Abuses. And we live in bitterness, and we live in anger.
Yeah.
And we live in fear. We live with the spirit of, I want to be in control. I want to control my family, and I want to control my life, and I want to control how God operates in my life. And that's reproach, folks, that they're still living under the curse, even though we've been saved from it.
That's
right. What I mean. Are you living under that shame still today? Do you have memories that every time they come, they pierce you? Every time something happens to remind you of the past or yesterday, it just is a piercing into your heart because you're still feeling the shame, you're still feeling the pain, you're still feeling the hurt, and you're reminded of it again and again and again. And the enemy comes knocking on your heart door and says, you see, you're not free. This isn't real. God can't do anything about this. You're still trapped.
Yeah.
Has the stone been rolled away over your heart and over your life? Are you still living in that shame and that reproach? See, folks, I want a life in Him that's a lot more than just showing up to church or making sure I read my three chapters for making sure that I, you know, I at least prayed for 5 minutes a day. I want a life that goes farther than just going through the motions.
Amen.
And goes beyond the surface. You know, so many of us, that's where we live. We live in the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are keeping us in captivity are way down deep in our lives, but we've never allowed the Spirit of God to go down there and heal them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And cleanse us.
Right.
And so we keep living under the same, the Bible called them besetting sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of us that are still plagued and held in captivity by things that we can't get free of because we don't believe we can be free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there are other things we're not doing necessarily things, but we're thinking them. And our thought life is just everywhere and everywhere without Him. And there are things that we're not even thinking about, but yet we're still held captive because we cannot believe that God can set us free.
Mm-hmm.
That in Christ we can be free.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Are you still living in shame and reproach? Of yesterday, today, or have you been called forward? Have you been called out? You know, I wondered as I put this together, I cannot believe that with all of us here together, there's not need in our midst. I can't believe that there's not need of healing. I can't believe that there's not need of deliverance here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that there's not somebody here today that needs to meet Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Really meet Christ and be saved. Converted, transformed, whatever you want to call it, folks. I can't believe there's not someone here today that needs that. And I think that, Lord, that we would be in disobedience if we didn't give the opportunity to come and today make that day a resurrection day, a day of deliverance, a day of atonement, a day of freedom in our lives. Do you need it in your life? Yeah, I just asked a blunt question. Have you ever truly transacted spiritual business with Jesus Christ? You know, when I hear people say, I've always been a believer. How'd you work that out? Because we're all born separated. So how can we be born connected? Has that time in your life ever come when you have really, truly come to Christ, confessed your need and your lostness, and repented of the things that have been about you so that your life can now become about Him? Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened? Then I would just ask, are you living a life now that reflects the resurrection? In your life, in your marriage, in your home, where you are, is that reflecting your life? Your wife knows, your husband knows.
That's right. That's right.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And last, has the tomb that's been covering, the stone that's been covering your life, really been rolled away? We celebrate that it's been rolled away 2,000 plus years ago in the life of Christ, but has it been rolled away in your life this morning? Has it been rolled away? Are you free? Are you free? Not perfect. Are you free?
Mm-hmm.
Have you received what He has so freely given?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you stand? I don't know how you answer these things. I know that I have got to answer to the Lord. Whenever the Lord points something out in my heart, in my life, and He's able to, I shouldn't say able, He does quite frequently sometimes. The only response that I can have is to obey and come to me.
That's right.
Amen. I probably have poorly presented all this to you today, but has anything that I've talked about or asked the Lord has spoken this day registered in your heart? Have you had that time? Have you had that experience that real experience of coming to know Christ. If not, now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the day of salvation. Have you had that time? Are you liking, or are you experiencing in your life right now a life of victory that overcomes the world? And last is the reproach, the shame that we have so often given has been rolled away in your life or mine. God, pray. I invite you. Between you and the Lord, wherever your heart is, wherever your need is, don't miss the chance for the Lord. Pat, you got three pastors here. You get some good praying. Amen?
Amen.
If there's anything in your heart, in your life, that you want to see and just give to the Lord today, could there be a better day than to come to Him? Father God, as you search our hearts this morning, as you speak to us this morning, and we hear your voice this morning, may we come. May we give. Lord, if there's one here today that has had a mental agreement with you or a believing that you're there and that you're real, but has never had that experience of finding it out in their hearts, and have really received you, would you give them the grace this morning to come and receive? And Lord, I know there's got to be some of us here this morning that we're not living in victory today, but we want to. Lord, would you bring that one, those ones, that they would come and stand here, Lord, and just receive what you have given. No longer orphans, but sons and daughters. Lord, would you move, would you touch, would you pray? Lord, you say that no man cometh unto the Father except you draw them. Lord,
right.
You are drawing us. Let not any of us miss the opportunity to come. Lord, if there are things in our lives that we know are not right, we haven't been able to give up, we haven't been able to release, we haven't been able to let go of, may we release them and let go of them in your hands, that they be healed and cleansed, that they may be moved, leaving it today. And Lord, for anyone living in the shame, reproach of yesterday, may they release it to you and have it rolled away in your life. I ask this for Jesus in your name. Amen.
You know how blessed we are to hear the word
today.
Amen. What a few guests. Let's give the Lord a praise. Notes, I would go back and look at them. I did. And I'm looking forward to see how God's going to continue to teach me. We are so blessed with Gary and Pat and just the commitment that they've made to serve you guys. So hug your pastor after church. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Now before I let you go, I want to take an opportunity to bless you. This is something we do in our church. And it is a wonderful thing. God really moves in us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yes and amen. May the Holy Spirit make you strong in body, mind, and soul to move in faith and great expectation. May the angels of God watch over to protect you and keep you. And may God give you opportunities and divine appointments to share the good news of Jesus Christ. May you be blessed to supernatural strength to turn your eyes from the foolish, worthless, and evil things of this world. And instead, may you behold the things God has planned for you.
Yes.
May your ears be blessed to hear words that are lovely, uplifting, and encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and negative. May your feet walk in holiness as your steps are ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender hands, hands that bless others. May your hearts be humble and receptive to one another, to the things God has for you. And may your minds be strong, balanced, and full of faith.
Yes.
I say this all the time to my folks.
You should pray that over your kids every night. May their minds be strong, balanced, and full of faith. May God's grace be upon your homes, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace, where the sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance for one another is constant. May God give you prosperity in your businesses and your places of labor. May God give you strength to overcome evil and avoid temptation. May God's grace be with you to fulfill all your hopes and dreams. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, I want you to proclaim it with me. I am blessed.